Oh boy, here we go. So this podcast goes off the rails, as the title might have teased for you. Yes, we're going to talk about politics a little bit, sort of. Not really. But it's an election year, and I think it's important. So let's just do it. Get mad at me if you want. I don't care. And yes, we're going to talk about Pokemon. I don't know, Pokey. I don't get it. I'm just old, I guess. But maybe I learned something. Maybe you will, too. So that's what we're going to do this week. Also, you need to know, this week is brought to you by Harry's and Harry's.com. Easily the best shaving experience you can ever have, especially for the price. It's nuts. So starting at just $15, you get a starter set. Razor, handle, shave cream or gel. Sent right to your door. You don't have to go to the drugstore. You don't have to deal with those annoying plastic cases. Harry's just sends it right to you, whether you shave every day or check this out. I got a beard. I don't shave every day. This makes even more sense. It is so economical for me. I just do a little maintenance around the edges every day and a half. It's summertime, maybe once a week, no more than once a week. But $15 starter set. You cannot beat that. And I love the cream. Maybe a little too much. So give it a shot. Harry's.com. Enter code AC at checkout to save $5 off your first purchase. Tell them Phil sent you. Here comes the show. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 296 for Thursday, July 7th, 2016. Welcome to July. Or was it July last week? I should go back and look. No, it wasn't. We're good. I mean, it was probably July when most people were listening to this, but it doesn't matter. I'm Phil Nickinson. That doesn't matter either, because we got Russell Hawley here with us.
Which also doesn't matter.
Oh, but that's not true. That's not true at all. All right, it doesn't matter because we have Andrew Martinick with us.
Yeah, we're all pretty much on the same level here. Come on.
We kind of missed Andrew last week. We didn't get into the technical snafus. For some reason, I can't do group calling on Skype, and I don't know why. And looking online right now, I'm not the only one. But
it's just you have the button, and it's just grayed out.
Suddenly, I can't do group calls. Whatever reason, Andrew, that led into Andrew being left out last week. So, Andrew, I formally apologize. And I just did a little bow that you can't see.
Oh, okay. I mean, I figured.
Do you know why it is that you can't see the bow?
Oh.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
we're going to go there that early in the podcast? Really? Really? Man.
Russell, so, I believe you've been in the comments of previous posts lately.
So welcome to the show. If it's your first time joining us, we do this once a week, occasionally more. That's what we do. We talk about Android. You know what I've been doing today? Wow. So it's Thursday. I've had 3 hours of Congress on in the background today.
Oh, you too?
Yes. Have you been watching it?
I have. It was a ridiculous clown car.
And it's all anyone has been talking about and has nothing to do with Android, except that it's been kind of interesting to see when people mistake hacking for phishing and fail to differentiate the two. So it's been fun.
Social engineering thrown in there too.
Yeah. So it's been fun to see the FBI director of all people try to explain the difference.
There was an amazing 20 minutes there where I can't remember who the senator was, confused having a direct phone line for having a dedicated email server.
Right.
And it just went downhill from there.
I learned some things today watching it, and I still love, I know people hate when we talk politics here, but I don't care. It's super important. It's an election year. And oh my God, I had to get some blood drawn just for physical yesterday. And I'm in the waiting room for half an hour waiting, because that's what one does in a waiting room. And people were talking about this stuff, and every single fact, I don't care what side of whatever you come down on, just talking facts that aren't true. And that's, I love that we can watch hearings like this live on YouTube, on wherever, live online. I love that, the White House can say, hey, the president's going to talk in half an hour, and an hour later he'll come on. It's always late. But I love that we can watch that live. It's so important. I really hope that doesn't change in the next administration, whomever it is. I am super excited for that. I know everybody's tuned out by now. They're like, oh my God, politics. No, I think
it's good stuff. And it's also really important that, people understand how this technology works. Like, we have so many amazing, pieces of technology that are out there right now, and we've had the people that are responsible for a lot of the laws in our country do not grasp how a lot of that stuff works.
And I think a lot of us forget that because we're so into it on a daily basis, weekly basis. Like, we've gone through, learned, and then forgot about things by the time they've made it out to, like,
right,
the governing bodies, which, you know, are often so far behind or slow for a good reason, as we know, in many respects. But and then once you sit there and you watch Congress for 2 or 3 hours, and then you're like, wow, this is not at all in touch with my view of, nope, you know, who knows what.
Actually, let's bring all this back around to what we're actually supposed to be here for a little bit. I wrote a thing this week and it got far more traction than I thought it would, because I thought it was just a little Pollyanna. But a big reason why I trust Google with my data is because they at least have the appearance of transparency. There's that My Activity thing that they rolled out. I mean, was it around before and they just kind of mentioned it?
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
It was around before, but it was it was more like multiple dashboards for different parts of your data, yeah, and right, seeing everything. And all of a sudden they had, this was after they did their unified security dashboard, which was like the revamped version of managing all your passwords and stuff. But then they have the activity area as well now.
It's an incredible thing. You click on it and you see, all right, here are all the apps that I just used on my phone. Here's this random thing that I just searched for or searched for yesterday or what. And like we type in all these search terms and go to websites and just don't even think about it. And yes, I mean, like, intellectually, I know it's being stored somewhere, but I don't think about it. But being able to see it all in one place and on occasion be like, ooh, I went there. Ooh, I searched for that. Okay.
Well, it makes it feel more like an honest transaction between you and them when you can see what they have.
I kind of took offense during WWDC and Apple's keynote for that. And again, absolutely will compliment Apple on making privacy so important, because I completely agree that it is. But I take real issue with the implication that anyone who does things differently or comes about it from a different approach is actively working against you, because that's just not true.
And I'm not sure if we talked, I know we talked about WWDC when it first happened, but now that we have a little more time to reflect on it, I'm not sure. And I think part of the issue there is that assumption means that some people are just going to, like, not even think about the places that do collect their data, even though they're maybe not aware of it. Where it's something like, obviously you can feel good about how Apple does something or how Google handles your data. But if you're not actively thinking about where your data could be stored elsewhere, or, you know, who's categorizing all that information, you know, like your carrier, for example, or your home ISP or anything like that, you can't just stick your head in the sand with those things. You have to be aware of all of their different policies, because they're not the same.
And of course we're not. I mean, I don't read all the TOCs. Absolutely.
Sure.
I click through like anybody else, but I'm aware that yes, they probably do have something logged. I mean, Jesus, I don't want my search history going anywhere. I don't want you guys knowing what I look at day in and day out. But it's just been fascinating, especially today, hearing from everybody on this committee, just the different levels of understanding. And that's not to say everybody needs to be a hardcore nerd about this stuff, because that's just unreasonable. But it all shifts and changes so quickly. I don't know. I have a lot of fun. I'm a big nerd.
Personal responsibility when it comes to your information is a huge problem that doesn't get solved by hiding everything behind a corner and saying, trust us, we've got this.
Right. And that's not to say I don't trust Apple in how it's doing things, because I really do think I do. But there's a reason why I don't know that I trust Google more, but I think I appreciate the direction of it more. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you.
So anyway, I'm going to go start my own email server now. And
those are just a lot of work. Like having run one in my house
You take for granted all of the wonderful filtering that Gmail can do.
It's so great. Like, I was a server admin in a past life. Like, I did that all the time. And so when I moved into my own place, I was like, yeah, of course I'm going to have my own server. Like, I'm gonna set that up, and it's going to be... No, it's a ton of work.
For what it's worth, I remember, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago when I just started the newspaper and just started to move into news, seeing... like home email, like Gmail addresses or Cox or God, back then probably AOL, on local politicians, you know, contact things. And it's like, ooh, yeah, I don't like that. It felt weird back then to me. And I agree. I think there needs to be.
Well, now the nice thing is you can have a custom domain, but still use Gmail. So
yeah, no. And I have one of those too for my family, which is cool as hell. And God, I really wish, I know we've talked about that before. I really wish Google had some in between that, like, it's not a business thing, but you could still
easily
do. Yeah,
there is that problem when you start getting into Google Apps. Yeah. And it's like, well, yeah, now you're still an admin for your family now. It's like,
that's no fun.
No.
Don't well, do
we
admin.
We all kind of are admins for our family, but I don't want the official capacity of running their email too.
So I think next we should, the hearing's finally over now. 2:40, I think is what it clocked in at. I think now we should tackle Tesla and autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I do want to do that. I need to get Sam Abdelsamad back on here and maybe Derek Kessler when he's back around as well, because I have a lot of questions about that and more feelings about how that works with phones and stuff, and I think it all ties back together, so we'll do that at some point. So with all that out of the way, what else should we dive into? How about we briefly touched on it last week, but Android Places has had more Nexus exclusives. Anybody have any more feelings on that? I mean, the phone stuff still looks like, yeah, here's some phones with phone specs. They did some like, here's what, you know, the phones will kind of look like. Here are these renders we came up with. They are not, like, leaked renders or anything. They're not press images. But the only thing that really stood out to me, I mean, it kind of looked like if you took an HTC 10 and made it Nexus, whatever. But supposedly might not have any Nexus branding, which maybe goes back to that whole thing we were talking about last week. And is it a Google phone or a Nexus, or does it matter? Is it just a branding thing? I don't know.
I think people are getting looks at... pre-production dog food devices right now. And with that comes just some massive question marks. Like, you know, when the Nexus 6 came out, you know, there was a massive divot in the back like the Moto X had that just wasn't there in the final version. You know, so they're making hardware changes right up until the final production stage, especially when it comes to Nexus phones. So a lot of that stuff has to be taken with a grain of salt, I think.
And that's not unusual for any smartphone. There are absolutely very different stages of, and I forget the actual acronyms. DVT, what does that sound familiar? EV, I don't remember. You know, they're like engineering devices, then more final, you know, like testing devices, and then finally production devices. So yeah, it is not uncommon for things to change. I still haven't seen anything. They had another one, I think it was yesterday, about Google making new smartwatches with a Google Assistant built in. Well, it's like, well, yeah. I mean,
well, just like current Android Wear watches have, you know, the light version of Google Assistant before it was branded Google Assistant. Like, duh.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a long time since we had a new decent watch. Actually, there was that Casio one. Somebody's asking about. Oh, Michael Fisher was asking me about it the other day. I don't think anybody's reviewed that thing. Which I don't think anybody should. You don't need a $600.
Don't you dare let Jerry hear you say that.
I know. But yeah,
that thing has a fish finder in it. He would be so unhappy with you.
It just, you know, the prospect of Google making more watches with its own watch operating system. Yeah.
And, okay. I mean, you have to remember how tightly they partnered with Samsung and LG to release the G Watch and the Samsung Gear Live at Google I.O.
Android Wear is not surprising. Yeah, it's a Google joint, period. They're basically helping these manufacturers make other things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, anybody who didn't think that Assistant was going to be a part of Android Wear when we moved into the next version of it, I don't know what to tell you.
Nope, go ahead.
I was going to say, as far as the phones go, it's just we're so early in it that it's just not that exciting to see you know, somebody's render that was, you know, created based on information they have that kind of just looks like an HTC phone, looks like an evolution of, you know, the smooth Nexus branding or, you know, physical branding, and has a fingerprint sensor and just kind of looks like a phone. You know, that's the table stakes part of this whole thing is just not that interesting at this point.
Yeah.
There was one part of that that was kind of interesting to me, and that was that it looked like the camera was flush up against the body, which raises some questions about the camera sensor that they're using in the body of this phone and how it's going to compare to what was a really good sensor that had some software flaws in the 6P and 5X. This year, I would love to see Google push that even further and be like, hey, so about that stuff we said last year about optical image stabilization and, you know, being able to take pictures quickly, we fixed those. That would make me very happy. But yeah, it being flush up against the body means that there are some notable hardware changes there, and I'm curious to see what they are.
It's not to say I'm not excited about new Nexus phones, because I absolutely am, but just leaks and, you know, what we've seen so far just doesn't do it for me.
Whatever. I mean, I'm excited to actually see, hold, and use one.
Yeah.
Not just,
call me in September.
See the specs, yeah.
I'm excited to shove one inside of a VR headset and play with Daydream.
That's the big thing. And just, I'm waiting to see the line that we see every year. Well, there's not much else to know.
Right.
Sorry, Bill Cosby was showing up.
And of course, we have, the dev preview of the software. Obviously, they always withhold a couple features here and there, but, you know, that just feeds that feeling. Well, we already know everything. It's not that interesting. It's like, no, there's going to be this moment where they're going to be able to tie it all together, and that's what's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially with Assistant and Allo and Duo and, you know, all of these things that we kind of got
everything from Google I.O. that doesn't exist yet.
We got pictures of it, Google I.O., and we don't get to touch it until later.
Where the hell are Duo and Allo? I want them.
I expect them at Nexus launch time.
Yep, totally with Andrew on that one.
Aww. Fine.
I mean, to think that they would roll them out dramatically earlier than that just wouldn't really make too much sense to me.
No, that's totally the feeling I got coming out of I.O.,
Oh, I got the feeling that they just weren't even, they're not even there yet.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, now that I think back, I have no reason to think they'd be split up. But
I mean, other than that's what we all wanted, because we wanted to use it right away, and Hangouts is kind of a train wreck.
Do you think that means there's going to be a super dedicated Allo and Duo hardware button?
Oh my God. I hope not.
I don't think so.
I'm just causing trouble.
Yeah.
But it could be a thing. I mean, we don't know. Are we talking about these being preloaded in the way that, you know, both being preloaded in the way that Hangouts are? Is it going to be, you know, are we going to have Google Messenger around still? Like, what's that strategy going to be? Those are questions we have no idea about.
I really want something other than Hangouts to use, but I really hesitate. I mean, is anything going to work as well on multiple devices? At all?
Honestly, I the thing that bothers me about Allo and Duo so far is that I've seen nothing about them for the desktop.
And
for the web, and I get it. This mobile first thing is a really big deal right now, but, you know, personally, I need a desktop client.
Yeah, I mean, I get the desktop. I mean, I get the web part. They have to have a web component, I think. But as far as the desktop experience goes, I don't even use the current Hangouts, you know, app/extension for the desktop because it's so bad. I just use hangouts.google.com currently.
I do. Just because
I use the Chrome app. I love my Chrome app.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan.
I think that's what I'm using. It's the Chrome app.
Yeah. I think most people do.
Yeah. It's because I'm in front of a computer so often.
I mean, but to Russell's point, they didn't come out on stage and be like, and we have a great desktop experience.
They didn't talk at all about it. There was no man. When people asked, they had no, like, nothing to say. It was really kind of concerning.
Well, because that's what the kids are doing. But, on the other hand, if you're running Android alongside on a Chromebook, what's it matter?
Well,
You know what I don't have at my desk every day is a frickin' Chromebook. So
yeah, except for everybody else using Windows and Mac that are like womp womp. I mean, one of the biggest things for all of us is having Hangouts, and we use Google Voice as well, that I don't message or text, you know, send SMS through Hangout or through my phone. I just use Hangouts. And it's 90% of the time on a computer because, you know, we sit in front of computers a lot. And of course, it's a self-serving thing, but dang, I don't want that to go away.
When you're communicating people, though, with people, are you doing so through SMS in Hangouts or through Hangouts itself?
Through SMS in Hangouts.
Yeah.
Because see, I don't
people,
do that.
People still use regular old SMS, and that goes to my Google Voice number. And it has for, you know, 5 years or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's where, I mean, I don't like it as much as using Hangouts or even Facebook Messenger. I think they're better chat platforms than straight up SMS. But every couple of days, you're on an MMS group thread that, you know, goes on about something or another. And you got to be able to do just straight up SMS.
No, I emotionally abused everyone that I know. Nobody sends me a text message anymore. I only get Google Hangouts. It was a long, exhausting, embarrassing process for a lot of people that I know, but yeah, I got them all to do things my way.
I mean, I try to browbeat as many people as I can into using Hangouts, and a lot of the people I talk to the most will use Hangouts, but especially because it's cross-platform and it's easy, and I'm never going to use iMessage, but you know, SMS has still got to be there, ready to go.
You gotta
or I'll
go
miss
all
out
man.
On a large portion of my correspondence.
My problem is when I set up a new device and I forget to, because you have to turn on the combined threads.
Yeah.
By default, it's off. So like I'll accidentally send my wife an actual Hangouts message and she'll reply 2 weeks later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She didn't have the app on her iPhone, but she's got it on her computer. So.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
I just cut ties with those people. It was a lot easier.
Well, my wife doesn't really want me to do that. So, I mean, most of the time.
I mean, it's a lot of work.
Other exciting stuff coming up. Motorola and Verizon doing an event on the 14th for the Moto Z.
You know, because we needed two events.
Yeah.
And then are we going to get a third event when the unlocked version comes out elsewhere?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
I'm ready for it. I mean, I understand that Verizon wants to feel important and wants to say, hey, look, we're doing an event, and now you can look at all the details that we could have released at the first event that was in the U.S., but...
Yeah. I mean, we got to get...
We're finally going to know what this thing's going to cost.
That's the big question. That is the big question. And
what kind of crazy promotions Verizon's going to throw at you, because it's, you know, it's a droid and they run crazy promotions.
I'm excited to try to use it without any of the backs on it to see just how flat and awful it is.
Especially the standard one that's 5 millimeters thick.
I only ever want to use this phone with the gigantic battery on the back.
And I'm telling you, you really won't have a problem doing that.
It's gigantic only by comparison to the 5 millimeter thickness of the body.
Right.
Right.
The thing with, you know, one, I mean, there's multiple battery packs, but one of the battery packs that adds like 2000 milliamp hour, to the back of the standard Moto Z makes it only like 1 millimeter thicker than the Moto Z Force Droid Edition. It's like, well, why would you buy the Force one? I don't know.
I'm so excited.
These are already shaping up to be the best, you know, droid versions of phone, of a certain phone.
I may
show up because
they're
not crazy bastardized versions.
I think I'm just going to go to New York and pretend to be Phil for this event.
Just get there early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, yeah. I'm going to try the projector with my kids.
You should.
That's the most Lenovo thing ever, and I hope nobody ever actually buys
it. I love how companies...
Oh, don't say that.
No, actually, was Samsung the last one to try to cram it in a phone? I remember seeing one from Samsung.
Samsung had one with the projector.
Yeah,
I mean,
Lenovo
bad.
Puts it in all of their...
Right.
Yeah, at least one of their tablets.
I've always loved the idea because I want to like plop my kids down in front of a wall and just let them stare at it for a while. But nobody's ever done it in a way that is economical and then works.
Yeah, I mean, that projector Moto mod ain't going to be cheap.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be easily, you know, $100, $150.
Yeah.
But
I was
going to
say
like
two.
It. I don't think it'll be two.
Yeah.
It could be a really good projector and be 200. Like if they can demonstrate that it's you know on par with the $200 Pico projectors that you can get.
Yeah.
Then sure, I'd be on board with that. But for $150, I would expect it to be slightly less good than the standalone ones that you would normally buy.
Well, and then I can't believe we got this far. There's the whole thing about using it without a headphone jack.
Yep.
Which I'm honestly curious to do.
They're going
to
include a USB-C to 3.5 millimeter adapter in the box.
Yeah.
Kicking it G1 style. I like it.
Which they better do that.
Sure.
But still, I don't know. I mean, I've gone back and forth on this multiple times because I love my Bluetooth headphones and my Bluetooth speakers. But then the other weekend, I was trying to pair a phone to this little Bluetooth speaker that I had, and it just wouldn't pair. And so I just pulled the little cable out of the speaker and plugged it in, and I was ready to go. Rather than sit there fumbling around, I'm not going to carry the adapter on me. I'm not going to sit there and fumble with Bluetooth for another 3 or 4 minutes. And that not having that option really, really stinks.
I can't decide. I think when it's really going to be annoying for me is like when I'm going to mow the lawn. And I just want to plug in and get it over with and don't want to deal with it. Or I guess maybe I'll start using some of the Bluetooth things I've never used. I've never enjoyed those that much.
The worst name ever, the neck buds. But I love them. Especially the ones that Motorola makes, the blue ones. They're really, really nice.
I'm trying to remember if I have them too.
And I have the ones from, JBL and Under Armour, the ones that are really small. They don't have a full neck thing. And those are cool too. And they coil up, smaller than your average set of even wired headphones. But, sometimes I don't want to remember which headphones are paired to which device. And especially, like I said, with speakers, sometimes you just want to plug in.
So much easier.
I don't know. You sound like a weirdly first world tech blogger problem right there. I think most people are only going to have one phone and one set of neck buds.
Yes, as far as the headphones go, you're probably right. But with the speakers, it's not inconceivable that you have, a Jambox or something and multiple people are trying to pair to it. And it's nice to be able to just plug in. I'm testing this JBL clip speaker that clips onto things and it's waterproof. So I had it clipped onto the shower head and I was listening to a podcast in the shower. And then Maria, my girlfriend, turned her phone on and it was also paired. And she started making a phone call and all of a sudden it started coming through onto the speaker in the other room in the shower. And I was super confused. And I started hearing it ring. I was like, okay, I guess I don't want to, listen to this. So I had to turn the speaker off. That's something where I'd rather just be able to plug in and have the speaker sitting on the counter.
You totally should have just participated in the call. That would have been so amazing.
Hey, how's it going?
My wife does that. She still plugs in, or actually will just go sit on the porch with her phone and listen to podcasts there without using a speaker. Just because Bluetooth's still kind of a pain. I mean, it's not a huge pain, but her brain doesn't work with that stuff.
It works really well until you have to troubleshoot.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I really wish these speakers had, the ability to tap with NFC and pair and something like that would definitely help. But, until it just refuses to pair and you're going into your settings and forgetting devices and power cycling the speaker and stuff.
Exactly.
It's just way too much hassle. And sometimes you want to be able to go to, walk down to Target because you lost a pair of headphones and buy the $5 pair off the shelf. So you have some headphones for the weekend and that's just, not going
to
work.
I'm really curious to see how those new Bose headphones do in the airplane. Cause I've been using them off and on around the house and occasionally in the office. I don't like wearing headphones all day just because I need background music. I can't concentrate if it's just blaring at me. Part of that might have to do with what I listen to a lot. But I'm really curious to see how they work on the airplane. That's, for me, the big thing.
And so the interesting thing going back to the Moto Z is that they didn't even make a deal out of it at all. They didn't try to do this thing where, you get higher quality music or it opens up different experiences with headphones that could, pull power off of the device. We didn't even notice until an hour in. We were like, I think Phil noticed, hey, there's no headphone jack on this thing. And so it's going to be interesting how people respond to that when it, they didn't try to spin it, is my point. They just took out the headphone jack because the thing's 5 millimeters thick and they just decided to take it out.
Yeah, that it's, I'm not making a call on that till I actually use it for a while. So
I'm pretty sure you're going to be fine with it.
I refuse to get upset.
And to Russell's point, I think the average person is probably more fine with it because they don't switch phones every 4 days.
And I got to say, I see, and this is, you know, totally anecdotal, but I see so many people out and about every day wearing those neckbud things.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised too.
Every walk of life, you know, that they have these things and every manufacturer. I see Samsung, I see Motorola, I see LG, like they sell really well no matter who makes them. So
I feel like I see those LG tone ones
LG
the most.
Kinda, yeah. They had the market for a while and yep. then yep. Samsung came along and now Motorola and they're not bad ideas. I used to love them when I was trying to run more just because you don't have mm-hmm. wires running around.
I see a lot of like bike messengers uh-huh. and delivery people wear them.
I love them when I'm mowing the lawn. Like that, I yeah. grab them, you know, not usually when I'm like walking around the house or something like that. And I'll certainly never like just walk down the street with them on, which is what I see a lot of people do. But mm-hmm. yeah, anytime I'm going to do something like mow the lawn or something like that, I always reach for them.
And so I think most people are just going to say, all right, well, this is something that I know ahead of time and I'm just going to use Bluetooth. And for those other times, I have this little adapter thing that sits in a junk drawer and I'll use it.
They tend to not be noise canceling enough for me. I mean, and that has uh-huh. as much to do with the buds themselves as anything. But especially when I'm on the lawn, like I enjoy. And I've been using HTCs, the ones that they don't put in the box here with the HTC 10. But I like those a lot.
And somewhere in West Virginia, Jerry's yelling
yes.
about sound quality and such.
Honestly,
and such.
Though, when you have sound quality issues when you're mowing the lawn or doing yeah, something like no, that, it's
exactly yeah.
Jerry would tell you it's still important.
Well, and I feel the same way on the plane. That's why I'm really curious to try these Bose on the plane, because it's always going to be a little noisy and just a little weird.
Yeah.
So in the in-ear noise canceling ones I've been using from them are great. It doesn't sound quite as good as normal headphones when you're not on a plane, but you're on a plane. So
yeah.
What else? Pokemon Go. Russell, I don't mind admitting, I have no idea what the hell
None
this
of you
is.
Do. I have no, been talking have no about this either, so. For 3 months now.
And it's
everyone...
obviously, it's a big deal. I can see all the people reading it and all the people yelling at us when Russell says, this is live. And I'm like, holy crap, it's live. It's important. I slap it up online and we can't play it.
That was yet. So amazingly bad. I screwed that up so badly yesterday. That was just... And this was like, I didn't just go out and say it. Like, I checked with a bunch of people who were playing the game from different countries before I even said anything. Yeah, that was especially bad. The launch was not handled well, but and it's still not done. You still can't get it in like the UK and Canada and a couple other places.
And they kind of did it to themselves a little bit, and nerds didn't help them any, because then everybody's sideloading it and pirating it. I'll say it. And then their servers probably weren't ready for it, right?
Yeah, their servers definitely weren't ready for the load. And even now that it's officially open, it's still going down. It's gone down a couple times today. For a couple minutes, but yeah, it's been building up for the last couple months. They've been making these slow announcements and they've been letting people test it, and I get it. The people that I work with, not Pokemon people, would not ever expect you guys to be Pokemon people. At no point would I be like, Andrew is totally going to be up on this.
No.
Or anyone else. So I totally get it, but I knew that this was going to be a big deal when they first made the announcement that the game was coming, just because this is the thing that every kid who played Pokemon, you know, 15 years ago and now has a smartphone wishes that was, you know, real life, the ability to walk around and play Pokemon with people. And so this isn't like a kid's game. Adults from so many walks of life are going around and playing this game right now and doing just crazy stuff playing this game.
So what is it? Give me the two-minute spiel.
It pulls off a lot of stuff that was previously available in Ingress, because the Niantic guys are the ones who did most of the kind of world building here for this game.
Right.
But basically, your character you know, travels out into the real world with your phone in your hand, and you'll get a buzz on your phone saying that there's a Pokemon nearby, one of 151 different critters. And you switch into this kind of capture mode where you have an augmented reality screen where you can see the animated Pokemon sitting in a real place, you know, through your camera, and you flick little Pokeballs at it to catch it. And when you catch it, it gets added to your collection. And you can go and do that anywhere in the world. And then all across, very much in the same way that Ingress had portals, there are now gyms in a lot of the places where those portals were. And so you can go and fight your Pokemon against other Pokemon at these gyms, or leave your Pokemon there for other people when they come by to fight them, in order to build them up and make them stronger and stuff.
Andrew, I think he just made up half of that.
I mean, totally sounded
convincing.
I have no idea. Okay. You know, I'm just like, yeah.
I knew that this was a big deal when I was at a Mariners game and a Sounders game, and they had giant Pokemon billboard advertisements in the stadiums.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew, like, okay, they're spending big money on this, and people are going to care about this a lot.
So is it like all AR based? Is like can my kids sit in a room and play stuff? Or?
Augmented reality is just the tiny part where you're doing the catching thing, and you can actually turn that off. And it's probably a good idea for some people, because running the camera and the GPS and the screen at full brightness while you're outside all at the same time does wonders for your battery.
Oh yeah,
Ingress all over again.
Yeah, it's worse than Ingress because you've got the camera running. It's something that you can turn off. Most of what's going to be happening isn't going to be something that you're going to be able to do like in your living room, because it involves either walking to a gym and participating with Pokemon that are saved at that gym, or walking around and catching new Pokemon. There are items that you can get that will lure local Pokemon to you, so you can stand in one place and they will come and find you. But you have to buy them from the little shop, and you're only given a little bit of money when you start off.
Right, so that's the business model here?
Oh, it's totally an in-app purchase system for coins. Yeah, you can spend so much money, an embarrassing amount of money, on coins to get items up front that you would use, or some of the things that used to be Ingress portals are what they call Pokestops, where you go to them and there's like an inventory cache there where you can go and kind of check in with that Pokestop, and you get 5 Pokeballs and, you know, 10 of whatever else. And that happens like every hour. You can go back to that place and get more of them.
It sounds so insane.
It's complicated, and it's
I'm smiling though, because you're obviously weird. Very into it.
Yeah. I mean, so this isn't even so much me, my partner Cass has been just a huge Pokemon fan forever, and has been really obsessed with this, and was a part of the beta. I wasn't even allowed to be in the beta, which was hilarious.
That's awesome, like, actually.
I'm like leaning over, like, "Hey, let me see what's going on in that game." And I signed an NDA. How's it feel? You know, just like, yeah, that's great. This has been, you know, a long time coming, and my kids are very interested in playing as well. So I created an account and started playing for a couple minutes, but haven't really jumped into it. But seeing so many people on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus that have just jumped into this and have already started, you know, playing for hours on end. There's a really hilarious post on Facebook from a police department. I don't remember where it is. Apparently the police department is a Pokemon gym. And they made a post on the Facebook page asking people to stop coming in to the police precinct to do things, that they can do it from outside. They don't have to come into the precinct.
When you say gym, how are you spelling it?
What?
Like G-Y-M, G-E-M?
Yeah, like a gym.
That's a Pokemon gymnasium thing from a long time ago.
That's I know nothing. I know.
Yeah, no, it's a G-Y-M. And you just go to them, and they're all very much in the same way that Ingress was split up into two factions. The Pokemon Go is split up into 3 factions. It's red, blue, and yellow, which is a throwback to the original games that were released on Nintendo. Or I'm sorry, on Game Boy. Because there was a red version and a blue version, and then they made a yellow version later.
Now, I definitely played those, but have not kept up with the Pokemon since then.
Yeah, so they have a faction-based system where you can go, and people who are of the same team color as you can go with you to the gyms and put, you know, different Pokemon there, and so that becomes, you know, like a red gym or a blue gym, And then you get that kind of ingress element where whoever owns the most gyms based on that color coordination across, you know, a spectrum in the order across the world is the kind of the dominant group for that period of time.
You know, this seems like such a massive undertaking from creating the game perspective that I'm super glad that there are tons of people that are excited about it and actually going to, you know, use this immensely huge world across, you know, countries and countries and millions of people. It's pretty awesome.
And this is kind of an interesting starting point for the way that this game is set up. The original game trailer that they did, they included something that's not part of the game right now, where there were these kind of larger group events where people could get together in some place and fight, you know, like a really rare Pokemon or something. In the preview trailer, there were like, you know, 100, you know, people who were in Times Square using their augmented reality thing to fight like a gigantic Mewtwo Pokemon that was there. And so that thing that they showed off in that game trailer doesn't actually exist in the game yet. I think they were waiting to see what the initial reaction would be before they started working on that kind of group component. And it seems like they're going to need to do it pretty quickly.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. It's cute.
No, it's cool, man. I get it. Like, you have to understand, from my perspective, I was like, hey, guys, this is a really big deal. We should be paying attention. Yeah, okay, uh-huh. No, guys, it's a really big deal. We should be paying attention. Sure, no, I get it.
I am enlightened enough to accept the fact that I'm old, and there are things that I just do not understand.
It's cool.
Accept that I will never understand it as well as Russell, so
handle that. Like, as we speak, Jen Carner is out, like, just taking all the notes. She's the one who wrote the game guide that we have on the site right now for how to play the game.
That's how I knew it was a big deal. I'm like, holy crap, that thing just took off.
Yeah, Jen's got the game guide. She's going to have something, I hope, by tonight or tomorrow for how to make your battery way less terrible on using it, because she's been just kind of nonstop playing it since it came out. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, we have people here who are going to be able to help.
Awesome.
I love it.
No, keep laughing, man. It's awesome.
I'm not laughing at you.
No, I get it.
It's cool. It's cool. I'm really curious to see. I'm going to shove it in front of my kids and see what they do.
I think what would be really hilarious is if we come back from the weekend and Phil's been playing it for like 15 hours.
Entirely possible.
Well, I remember Vainglory. He jumped into that one.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah, and that took me a little while because I didn't quite get it at first. But, oh, man, I haven't played Vainglory in a while because it quit working on In.
You've been playing Skyforce.
On my Pixel. I can't play Skyforce when I'm on the exercise bike because I'm bouncing around too much. It's a little too precise. The important thing is movement. I tried to
play it in a car once and almost cussed at the person who was driving.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. What was I going to say?
It's gotten too real. The score competition for Skyforce, especially between Phil and I, has gotten serious.
Skyforce is the perfect bathroom game.
That's Bangalore one way of putting it.
Is the perfect exercise bike game because it's half an hour long and no more than half an hour, and I'm just done. Yeah, what have I been playing? I play a lot of backgammon, actually. I talk about how old I am.
Actually,
my 9-year-old's started playing backgammon. She beat me once last night. So
you're playing on a tablet instead of just with a backgammon board?
No, I do both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, she's got a cheap little board.
It seems like overcomplicating things a little
bit. Yeah, no, it is. But when it's just me, yeah, I play it on the tablet. Hmm. What else? Verizon has new plans that cost more but give you more data. Yay.
So this is the most hilarious thing ever. The way that they try to spin it is, well, look, you get more data for your money.
And we have a new app.
But we raised all of the prices. And because the marginal cost of a gigabyte of data is super, super tiny for Verizon, they just make boatloads. Like that extra $5 they charge for an extra gig of data on every plan or 2 or 3 or 4 gigs costs them pennies on the dollar.
Yep.
So it's pretty hilarious to have them try to spin it like you're getting so much extra value.
I had just ditched I finally decided that it wasn't worth paying the extra like $40 a month for the unlimited family plan that we had. Mm-hmm. And so we switched to their, I think it's their 12 gig plan, whatever their biggest family plan was for the setup. And when this announcement dropped, I laughed. I was just like, yeah, okay, more money. You're not going to get me. And then it could not have been 5 minutes later, I got a text message from Verizon saying, you're at 90% of your data usage. And I was like, man, this
How'd you like to upgrade to 20 gigs for $10 more or whatever?
The best response, though, I have to say, has been T-Mobile's John Legere.
Oh, yeah, always.
He has been, and not like, you know, because he gets kind of, I don't know, I'm not going to say mean things about him, but he gets a little over the top sometimes when it comes to you know, poking at the other carriers. But he straight up was just like, oh, okay, so this is terrible. Here are the reasons that it's terrible. And I'll just start giving away phones to people who want to move over.
Oh, I did. I was like, I haven't seen any of that. Apparently I unfollowed him. I must have just had enough at some point.
Yeah.
He does get a little spammy sometimes, but it's just such a Verizon move. So the other part of it is, if you don't want to pay for more data, you can pay $5 a month to be able to have your data throttled instead of
throttled in the exact same way that T-Mobile gives you for free just for existing.
Right. And the funny part about that is you don't have an option to just have your data cut off.
Right.
But you have to pay extra to get that 128K throttle. Which, of course, it's priced in a way that, well, if you're going to pay for the throttle, you might as well just bump up to the next plan. So nobody's really going
to
use it.
Right. You only have to pay if you're on the two lower plans.
Right. Yeah. So it's just priced in a way to get you to bump up to the higher plans. But the higher plans, you go over and you just bump up to the next plan.
I'm stuck right now between really having loved the coverage that I get from Verizon here on the East Coast and finally just switching back to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Because it's getting a little nuts.
I'm humming bad and Qualcomm full disk encryption stuff. Do I care? I don't.
You definitely don't care about humming bad.
Yeah, I don't. I don't care about the encryption stuff either. Theoretically, it's bad. Realistically, it's been patched.
So give people a quick rundown of both of those, like the 15-second version of Humming Bad and the Qualcomm full disk encryption.
Humming Bad is more rootkit stuff that's going to root your phone and inject some stuff in there, and it's just bad news. But again, you're talking very small amount of phones, relatively speaking, in the U.S., and it's the same as every time. If you're just downloading stuff from Google Play, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
What? Stealing apps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that simple. The Qualcomm stuff, there was a flaw in the way they implemented encryption, and it went unpatched for a long time. But again, like, it's one of those bad things, and I'm glad they fixed it, and I am not downplaying that at all. But it's not something like, if I have one of those phones here on my desk, and it's entirely possible I do, there are a lot of phones on my desk right now.
You don't say.
Somebody would have to come here and get it, and then need some other stuff to go along with that to crack into it.
And it's like, yo, if they have your phone, you shouldn't assume that the worst possible thing is that they know about this exploit in your full disk encryption.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody has my phone, I'm already kind of screwed.
Correct.
So, no, again, not something I worry about. It just, every story like this focuses on the big numbers. And because it's big numbers, it's a story. I get that. But it's not something that keeps me up at night.
At the same time, we had a really interesting conversation breakdown on when we did the Humming Bad post about how little 100 million phones was.
10 million for that one.
Or 10 million. Yeah. For like in the grand scheme of Android, it's like, 1%. Which is great because for a while there, that was the number of people who had the latest version of Android.
Right.
And we talk about that all the time. So it's probably not, it's still something that, needs to be talked about, but it needs to just be talked about in the appropriate context.
Yeah. And the problem is we see it like as headlines on Facebook and that's it.
Right. People who go, this terrible thing is happening.
10 million number.
Yeah. I mean, have I mentioned how I feel about headlines on Facebook?
You're like, I have one phone and they're saying 10 million. That could be me.
Nope. pretty good chance it's not.
Yeah.
So, you want to do some emails?
I like email.
And Twitter questions.
And Twitter questions. That's right. Let's start with Twitter, because last time I did that, I forgot. And I had a typo in my tweet that went out today.
Oh, I did. I just blindly retweeted it because I just assumed that you took care of it.
I said we are recoding a podcast today, and people called me on it immediately, which is great.
Dang. Ruthless.
It's kind of funny, actually. Of course, it's been a while since I did that, so now I got to go find it, or I guess I could just search the hashtag.
That's the idea of the hashtag. Not everybody's going to respond.
Podcast. Do we really need 6 gigabytes of RAM? Asks Taz.
Do for Daydream.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, look.
Need you, right now?
No.
No.
But you can never have, you can never have too much RAM. What's the worst thing that happens? You don't use it?
Well, no, I mean, or you continue to use the phone in a year and a half or 2 years and you still want to play some heavy games or multitask a lot? Sure.
Joseph says, I believe Andrew said MMS was poor to share media. Is there a better option? How do I get friends and family off SMS or MMS?
It's funny because we just talked about this.
Man, you know what I did this weekend? Mia, my 9-year-old, and I were... She doesn't have Snapchat on her phone, but I guess my brother does, and he hangs out with her, or she hangs out with him a lot. And she knows what Snapchat is and knows how to use it and stuff. So, like, we're showing my wife this, and just the look on Shannon's face was priceless. It's one of those just, what the F are you showing me? How this is what people do? What? Kind of like me and Pokemon, probably. It was just fascinating. But I could absolutely, I get why it's a messaging replacement for a lot of people now, or another option.
Mm-hmm.
Put them all on Snapchat.
Yeah,
that's my answer.
Yes, SMS and of course MMS is a bad way to send media. It gets super compressed. There are issues with sending to different phones still, which is really annoying. And you have to just pick a chat platform. I mean, getting everyone to do one thing really sucks, you know, whether that's getting them on Facebook Messenger most of the time because it's so ubiquitous, or Hangouts or WeChat or WhatsApp or whatever it is. You have to try to get people on one platform because SMS, MMS is just so simple and bad.
I think
how you convince everybody, that's going to be a personal thing between you and your friends and family.
I think you just have to get used to having multiple messaging apps. It's the way it is. Good luck doing what Russell did and strong arming everybody. I think he paid him.
Possible.
No, it was definitely just a constant emotional upsetting time where I just call people on the phone and would just scream until they hung up. And then when they asked me why I did that, I said, it's because you sent me a text message. Like, it was a long campaign and it paid off because now I don't have to deal with text messages anymore. And if you people think I'm kidding, I am not. I do not get text messages ever because my family knows better.
I mean, I kind of went through a more basic version of this when, when I switched to my Google Voice number and I was like, hey, I do not have any other phone numbers anymore. This is all I have. And it still takes time for people to get on it. And it's worse now because you may, try to get everybody to use Facebook Messenger and they're like, well, me and this group of people are already using WhatsApp or whatever. So chances are you're going to have to go with whatever the majority have and then try to get the rest on board.
Let me go into the emails. Keenan has a Moto X 2014, which, man, I've got one like sitting on, I've got a hutch in my house where all our crap ends up, like my keys and wallet and stuff. So I see the Moto X is sitting in there, and I see it like every day as I go to this thing 2 and 3 times a day to grab my keys or sunglasses or whatever. I kind of miss it. That was my point. Anyway, said he thought about getting Nexus or let's see. Okay, he looks to be getting away from the Motorola stuff since Lenovo has him. He's worried about updates. And his Moto X is currently on the November 2015 security patch. And yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, that is a thing.
Sorry for the long-winded intro. I am sorry for reading it so poorly or not at all. But my question is, what phone should I buy next? I want something that's going to have a great camera. I have small kids. It receives the latest security patches, NOS updates, and will last for at least 2 years. Kind of depends on how much you want to spend, I guess.
I mean, my answer right away there, if he wants a fast, small device with a great camera, Galaxy S7.
Yep.
I'm back on the GS7, at least until I've got a OnePlus 3 showing up tomorrow, so I can play with it.
And that's the other thing. If you prefer something that's a Moto X type price, or you know what it was when you, you know, probably bought it, the OnePlus 3.
Except for the whole
$300 less.
Questionable updates thing, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. The Galaxy S7 right now has a better track record of updates than the previous two OnePlus phones.
At some point, one of us needs to ride something, because Samsung has done a really good job keeping that updated.
Yeah, and then you ask Daniel Bader about how the Canadian versions have done.
Yeah, well, blame Canada.
They haven't done anything, so that's the question.
Tom Mulligan wants to know about, he's got a GS7 Edge and has been getting those like Android process media errors and different services and stuff.
Ooh, I haven't heard about the Android process media error.
Yeah, let's see. They had him do a factory reset and the problem would just go away temporarily. It would return in a day. I then formatted the micro SD card while it was on the phone. Since then, my problems have gone away and I have not received an error since. My guess is that Samsung does something different when formatted in the phone. That was actually really good troubleshooting.
Oh, you should always use the phone to format the card if you plan on using the card in the phone.
Yeah, and
don't format it in another device and then stick it in and expect it to be everything that the phone was expecting.
And at that point, I might even say, just get a new card.
Yeah, if that doesn't fix it. I mean, I get
that they're not cheap, but you know.
I mean, when I put my SD card from my camera into my computer, I don't reformat the card in the computer every time. I let the camera handle that because it's going to, you know, then it knows, it's just a little bit of extra help. So it knows what to expect on the card.
I took a day and went through like every old SD card I could find laying around in the office and in old phones and man, found some old pictures. I should really read this one in a horrible French accent.
Please don't.
I'm not going to. This is from Bolton. It says, good day, gentlemen. I will read it in that bad accent. From your last podcast, in the pronunciation of nougat, I believe you all got it wrong. Nougat is a French invention, and the correct pronunciation of it is nougat. We can all manage.
Yeah, we can all manage
words like deja vu, so I'm sure we can all get this right, too. Oh, no. We can mispronounce anything here in America.
Yeah, you should see people try to pronounce hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, yeah.
Croissant. I've never heard anybody say
macaron
croissant.
Or anything like that. I mean, just because, I mean, not to be that American, but just because it came from a certain place doesn't mean that we haven't adapted to have our own version of saying it.
Don't tell me how to speak English.
Right. And that's kind of the thing. Like, there's not one way to pronounce it, just because even if you're speaking the same language, there's different accents and things like that and regionalizations that change the way that it's pronounced.
Nope. In Snickers, we trust. It's nougat.
Or, I mean, obviously we didn't have this problem with like Kit Kat or lollipop, but
Peter writes, will Chromebooks support multiple monitors with an adapter? And if yes, will you be able to have more than one app open at the same time? Yes, they do.
Yeah, but you can only split. I mean, if you have a Chrome box that has multiple video out, then you can have two separate monitors. But like a Chromebook only has HDMI out. So you can only do a Y splitter in which you would only get mirroring on the two screens. You wouldn't get two individual screens.
Sure, that's 100% correct. I'm trying to remember, and I just sent mine off to Michael Fisher.
Because it's video. It's only one video out. You can't split it with a Y splitter and expect it to be two independent screens. It's just going to mirror.
You don't need a Y splitter to do that. But yeah, I mean,
how else would you get two monitors?
Same way you do on a Mac. It just extends.
Monitors separate the screen built into the Chromebook. Now, I know that Chrome OS allows it because Chromeboxes have HDMI and DVI and a DisplayPort, and you can run two monitors or three monitors, right. Even if it has enough, you know, depending on the resolution and things. So Chrome OS can handle it just fine, just like Mac and Windows do. But because there's only one HDMI out on any given Chromebook, you're not going to be able to drive two additional displays off of that.
Yeah, that I'm not sure.
Because there's only one video out. Then you have the issue of just like that Chromebook's probably not powerful enough to do multitask in the way that you're thinking of multitasking with three screens.
That's a lot.
Yeah, one external monitor, totally fine. I've used that a ton with Chrome OS and it's fine experience. Then you start to get into funky territory after that.
Nicholas, and he dares me to try to pronounce his last name. I'm going to go with Skiankalapore.
Wow.
See how far off I am on that?
I can only wonder how that's spelled.
Let me know. Skiankalapore. The one problem I've always had with Android is how much battery life Android system and Android OS takes. I have a Nexus 6P on. Oh, he misspelled Nougat. No, see, you're allowed to mispronounce it. You're not allowed to misspell it. That's a totally different thing. However, same issue on 6 and 4.4 on my Moto X and so on. I only get 2 hours of screen on time when I just really listen to music and text and go to Snapchat and stuff. Nothing ridiculous. I have 2 email accounts and turn off unnecessary sync features. I post on a bunch of forums, turn off all the recommended settings and everything, and nothing helps. My phone is always dead midday. Dude, I think you're using your phone a lot. I think that's just
and
what
also,
it is.
Also, do you say Nexus 6 on N?
No. Android 6. 6P on N. 6P, yeah.
6P on N.
Yeah.
Still, I mean,
I think you're using
honestly,
your phone.
The 6P is not a battery champion, and on N, it's especially not a battery champion because you're running a developer version of the operating system. But I think the problem here is looking at the battery screen and assuming, I mean, how can you say that Android OS usage is high? What is high? How do you know what the base level of like what Android OS should be using?
Well, what he's saying is that it's at the top of his thing, Android system,
right,
Android
but
OS.
That's
system.
What I'm saying. That doesn't mean that it's incorrect.
No, but so
that's the cause of the battery drain.
The quick solution there, because it is weird that the battery monitor has gotten kind of less useful because of the way things get bundled in Android system and Android OS.
Yeah,
what I do. Is and this is obviously not something everyone should do, but turn on developer options and then go to the running services tab. Running services breaks down the individual services that are running, and the ones at the top are usually the ones that are the most egregious as far as how long they've been running and what it is that they're doing. I did that for a long time, and that was how I figured out that a huge part of my battery drain on my 6P was Facebook just being a jerk. And just being straight up user hostile in the way that the app ran, even when I turned it off and closed it. So I just flat out uninstalled it. Take a look at stuff like that. Instagram is another pretty ugly one for just kind of running in the background at all times, no matter what, because, you know, you're just a data mine to them and they don't care. So take a look at that. That'll probably give you a little more information instead of just the regular battery meter.
Yeah, so I think that it's not crazy to think that you have bad battery life on a 6P on N. And just because you see that Android OS is high on that list doesn't mean that that's the cause and that you're, you know, necessarily getting something crazy out of the usual there. Everybody uses their phone so dramatically differently. It's hard to say, but, you know, there's more troubleshooting to it than just looking at the battery monitor saying Android OS must be destroying, you know, running amok when, you know, not necessarily the case.
Cool. I think that's going to do it. That was a nice, well-rounded podcast. We had politics and Pokemon.
Which is definitely the name of the episode now.
I think so. I had another one in mind, but yeah. All right, that's it. See ya. No, go follow us all the places. YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram.
Follow us on Twitter so you can give us podcast questions.
Twitter.
Hashtag AC Podcast.
Facebook. I haven't done Facebook Live in a little while. Need to
be sure to go into the comments of the post for this podcast and tell Phil what you think about video coming back.
Whatever.
Because he reads every single one of them.
I do. I love how off the rails. Somebody emailed the other day to say they just can't take it anymore, and I don't blame them. But
you're keeping this person up at night.
I really am. It's kind of funny. I tell you what's incredible is how off the rails the comments on my columns have gotten.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they've been off the rails for a long time.
They've gotten worse, and some of that's on purpose. Really? Yeah, I mean, some of that's on purpose. I don't mind poking the bear a little bit. But sometimes it's just like, wow, really? Okay. I didn't think. All right. I get surprised. So, yeah, go follow us on the Instagrams and the Snapchats and all that stuff. Follow me on Snapchat. Say hi. It's funny. Like, I will actually reply to people on that. It's really weird how I get it. I don't get Pokemon. I get Snapchat. Go figure.
I'm completely off base on both.
Is Pokemon on Snapchat?
I'm sure.
Somehow, there's probably somebody dressed up.
Oh, at least 10 people.
Go do that. We will be back next week. I'll be on the road a little bit, but we'll figure it out. But absolutely, we'll have a podcast coming your way. So, Andrew, Russell. Hey, by the way, go download our app. Not you two. Everybody else. Andrew, Russell, thank you guys.
Thanks, Phil.
Everybody at home, thank you. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Later.